It was terrible. Well, you asked how it was, so I'm telling you, it was terrible. I may be a temp, so I might not know a lot about a lot of things, but I know a little bit about a lot of things, and that's come in handy now and then. For instance, I once worked for 2 days at a theme park in Iowa. I was running the Tilt-A-Whirl, and the manager comes up to me and is like, "Terry, can you tie a bow?" And I said to her, "Can I tie a bow? You're only talking to someone who wrapped Christmas presents for 2 weeks last Christmas at Sears, who's going out of business. And while I may not know a lot about a lot of things, I do know how to tie a bow." Well, she laughed, and then I started tying strings on balloons, which isn't really so much about making a bow as it is about making loops. At least until I worked there. I tie my balloons with bows, you know, just to show them I could, and I hear that theme parks still make bows on their balloons, all because I did that one day. They talk about me, probably. But anyway, back to the Christmas I spent with Cliff and Kendall. This was the first Christmas since Cliff and Kendall had been forced to move the show from Los Angeles all the way to Busheltown. If you've never heard of the internet talk show Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast, don't worry, neither had I, until the temp agency sent me to their studio one day to guest host. But that's another story. Cliff and Kendall were both really excited to get out of Busheltown for Christmas. They missed being in a big city and missed their friends, I guess. Although, honestly, I don't think I've ever heard them mention anybody other than themselves. Just people with code names like their First Lady and frequent guest star Alan. I'm pretty sure those people don't exist. But the whole thing started on Christmas Eve, and well, let me just start at the point where I got there.
Oh, hey, Terry.
Hey, Kendall.
What brings you here on Christmas Eve? Aren't you going to be with your family? I was just about to leave for the airport. I'm going back to Los Angeles for Christmas, which isn't really Christmas at all, but it's still more Christmassy than staying in Busheltown, which is expecting a big windy dust storm later tonight.
Hey, have a great trip to LA. As for me, I've been out temping on the road for so long, I don't really have a family anymore.
Hey, it's Terry. Terry, what are you doing here on Christmas Eve? Don't you have any friends to go see? I'm just about to leave for the airport. I'm going to Argentina. I'm going on the Evita reality tour. Do you think they let you take pictures of yourself doing the Don't Cry For Me Argentina pose on that balcony? I may need a new memory card. My digital camera will only hold 70,000 pictures. I know an Evita reality tour isn't really very Christmassy, but it's not any less Christmassy than spending it here in Busheltown, which, Kendall, is supposed to have a big dusty windstorm later tonight, so I hope your plane gets to take off before that happens.
Oh, me too.
So, Terry, not spending Christmas with your friends?
Well, I guess I've been on the road temping so long, I don't really have any friends. It's just me and my Toyota Camry. You could say I'm kind of a loner, a rebel, like that guy in that movie.
You mean on the waterfront?
She means Happy Gilmore.
Oh, dears. I hope no one is watching any Adam Sandler movies. That crudeness always makes me so uncomfortable.
No, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn. Have no fear. Kendall was just getting another movie reference wrong.
Oh, well, sorry to complain immediately upon entering. It's not proper etiquette, you know. But I'm afraid I've just had some bad news, which I'll tell you about after I make amends by saying, "Hello, Terry. What brings you here on Christmas Eve? Haven't you a hearth to warm yourself by on this precious evening, dear?"
Don't worry about me, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn. Terry the Temp always comes out okay.
Oh, that's lovely, dear.
What was the bad news?
Well, it seems that the romantic holiday plans I'd had for Mr. Snodbottom and myself had fallen through at the last minute. We were going to stay at a Tahoe ski chalet owned by my good friend Diane Sawyer, but it seems she accidentally promised the chalet to both myself and Vicky Lawrence from TV's Mama's Family. And, well, to keep a long story short, Mr. Snodbottom and I have got the old heave-ho!
Oh no, Mrs. Butter 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 Churn, that's terrible! Oh, it's Susan. I better take this outside while I put my bags in the car.
Do you need help?
Yeah, could you grab that bag by my desk there?
Oh, I was just gonna call for Austin to come out here.
Never mind.
I guess I better be going too. But I do have one more question. Terry, it's always great to see you, but I am wondering what brought you out to our annex behind the KBSH station here. Did Mrs. Pussybottom hire you for some temp work?
Oh, hello, everyone.
Oh, Mr. Snodbottom, dear, I have some terrible news.
Terrible news? Susan can't spend Christmas with me in LA. She has to go to Trinidad for an emergency business meeting.
I thought this was the one time she wasn't going to do business on Christmas.
In her defense, she was called in on this at the last minute because the person who was the head of the Trinidad project has to stay in LA to go to an award ceremony where PETA is giving a lifetime achievement award to that pig from Babe.
Oh, I love that pig.
Yes, dear, we can all agree that a Lifetime Achievement Award for the pig from Babe is long overdue, but I need to tell Mr. Snotbottom our terrible news.
You know, I don't know if any of you have ever picked up on it before, but the funny thing about terrible things is that they often happen in threes. Kendall's wife had emergency business. Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn's romantic Christmas was canceled. What will happen next?
Why are you all looking at me? Something terrible could happen to Terry. And if we've learned anything from history, on holidays, terrible things usually happen to my assistant. So why don't we get Austin out here?
Or Charles the contractor. I wouldn't mind seeing him get some terrible news like Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn and I did.
Speaking of other people that work for you, wasn't there also a female assistant that got engaged?
Oh, you're thinking of Becky.
She worked for us for a long time, actually. She got engaged to Charles the contractor when you were working for us temporarily at Halloween.
Oh, but poor dear, she couldn't make the move with us from L.A. to Busheltown. She's staying in a home in the mountains for people with extreme multiple personality disorders. You see, it was a particular sadistic personality that agreed to marry Charles the contractor.
The doctors informed us that she'd probably never be released.
Well, that explains that.
Speaking of that,
Oh, we're getting a fax.
It's probably our writers faxing us a Merry Christmas. I'll just take a look.
Is it from the writers?
Of course not. This fax regrets to inform me that the Evita reality tour has been canceled.
Oh, dear, does it give a reason?
Two more people got gored by loose bulls last week when they were trying to recreate this spin move that Madonna did during the Buenos Aires song, but I wouldn't have.
Looks like this is another Christmas ruined for Cliff and Kendall and their friends.
So what happens now? So what happens now? Where am I going to?
Not Argentina, that's for damn sure.
Hey, Terry, you never mentioned why you're here.
Candle boy. I think I can answer that one. I called Terry into temp for us because of an exciting opportunity.
An opportunity? I thought you were going to go on a romantic Christmas holiday for two.
Yes, dear, we were, as in, I did.
Then why did you call Terry in?
Candle boy. I wouldn't have even mentioned this opportunity if it weren't for the incredible coincidences that just unfolded. Why, three different sets of Christmas plans collapsing almost simultaneously. That's unheard of, boys.
But you already called in Terry to temp for us.
Well, I...
Dear, did you take all your pills this morning?
Yes, dear. I took the blue one and the yellow one at breakfast and the green one after lunch.
What about the purple one? And the three white ones?
Oh, my. I knew I'd forgotten something. That would explain this whole mess. Well, Mrs. Butter 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 Churn, what would I do without you, girl? You put up with my irritable bowels, as well as the many, many strokes that I've had. Why, so many parts of my face have been paralyzed, I can barely understand myself at times. But through it all, you stuck with me, girl.
Dear, do try to remember to take your medicine.
Yes, dear. All right. The opportunity I was speaking of, boys, I don't want to get your hopes up, but we may have one last chance at returning to our Los Angeles studio.
You mean we could leave Busheltown? Go back to some place where your car is not constantly getting stuck in a sinkhole?
Or quicksand, like that one time.
How is there quicksand in a Sonic parking lot?
Only in Busheltown, which I would love to leave, but I'm so mad about my vacation being canceled that all I want to do is eat a whole tray of Butternut Rye Krispies and watch Muppet Christmas specials for the next 8 hours.
Oh yeah, let's do that instead of whatever Mr. Snodbottom is going to suggest.
Boys, I feel like I'm constantly telling you this, but the Muppets can wait. There's a possible sponsor coming into town tonight, and I've invited them over for a nice Christmas dinner. If we can entertain them, I'm sure that we could get them to sponsor the show and we could afford the studio in L.A. again. We wouldn't need Mrs. Pussybottom or her radio station to underwrite the show any longer.
That does sound good. Cliff, what do you say?
Well, I guess we might as well show this guy a good time. What do we have to do?
So then Mr. Snodbottom took what felt like forever to explain that we had to cook dinner and get ready to entertain the sponsor guy in just 2 hours. We were getting the studio ready because we were having the dinner there for some reason I was never really clear on. I was in charge of making the break room in their office look nice. I knew I could do it. I once temped at an interior design firm in Ottawa for 6 months, but I didn't bother telling them that. Well, I worked on sprucing up the place where we were serving dinner. And by sprucing up, I do mean that I put a spruce tree in there by the recycling bins. Anyway, while I was doing that, Cliff and Kendall were cooking dinner in the kitchen across the hall.
Cliff, will you shake this pumpkin pie spice all over the yams?
Yeah, but what I want to know is how we're going to cook a sponsor-convincing dinner in this tiny kitchen.
It's a kitchenette. Tiny kitchens are called kitchenettes.
Okay, even so.
Ooh, look, it says I've got a voicemail, but it didn't even ring.
I blame Busheltown Sales Service. I don't think this town was even on their satellite map until that rye mill exploded last year.
I wonder who called.
One new message. Two saved messages.
Hey, Kendall, this is Charles. I'm your contractor. I dropped my phone into a port-a-john, so could you tell Mrs. Snodbottom that I won't be in until after January 1st? I have a family emergency, so my cousin broke out of prison. So anyway, Merry Christmas all.
This throws a kink into Mr. Snodbottom's plans. He wanted Charles the Contractor to wear a tuxedo and pretend to be our valet tonight.
That never would have worked. I've seen Charles the Contractor sweat all the way through a winter coat.
Oh my god.
What?
No, Mr. Snodbottom is going to kill me. We're completely out of saffron. And we've got to have some for the bordelaise sauce.
Kendall, you don't put saffron in bordelaise sauce. Every idiot knows that.
I'm not making regular bordelaise sauce like we have every damn day of the year. I'm making a very special version of a New Orleans bordelaise sauce that my mother's Creole grandmother created one night when she had to cook dinner for Napoleon himself.
Kendall, calm down. Do you want me to pull up episode 184 of our show, Calm Yourself, on your iPad? Because I will do it.
No, we don't have time. We have to find some saffron, and that's all there is to it.
It's Christmas Eve. Do you think the gas station at the end of the block has saffron in between the deer jerky and the king-size Kit Kat bars? I can tell you from experience, they don't. I've bought a lot of Kit Kat bars there, and I've never seen any saffron.
We'll find some. Somebody right around here has some saffron. I just know it.
Shouldn't I stay and stir or something?
We'll get Austin to stir.
Mr. Snodbottom has Austin cleaning out the storage closet. He wants it to look like a writer's room.
Won't this sponsor know that our writer's still back in L.A.? That they just email or fax us everything now that we've moved? Something seems fishy, doesn't it?
I'm not the one that told you to make a New Orleans bordelaise sauce.
Saffron! Damn it! Let's go get saffron! Terry, can you stir everything on the stove over here?
You got it. Then Cliff and Kendall went walking around the block looking for saffron.
You know what makes me mad? How humid it is in Busheltown on Christmas Eve. If we had to move somewhere, why didn't we go somewhere it would snow on Christmas?
That sky's looking dark. I think tonight's dust storm is going to be a doozy.
Yeah, the wind's already picking up.
Okay, who the hell around here would have some saffron?
Most places on the block are closed for Christmas already. Let's just try wherever there's a light.
Okay. Over there!
Hey, good idea.
Merry Christmas! Welcome to the Busheltown Erotic Bakery. Can I get you a booby cupcake or an ass pop? We also have a special on day-old ding-dongs.
No thanks. We're just here for the off chance that you might have some saffron. I'm making a sauce down the street and we're all out.
Saffron?
Saffron?
Saffron? Saffron? Funny you should mention saffron. I had some saffron. Up until last week, I had all the saffron you could have ever dreamed of. Saffron is the world's most expensive spice, you know. My father was a spice trader in the spice district of Manhattan for 40 years, and he spent all that time saving up saffron sweeping so that I, his only boy, wouldn't have to work as hard as he did. Well, I used some of the saffron to open up this erotic bakery, but I had a little left. And then, last week, I overheard my wife on the phone telling her sister how she'd gotten me an amazing Christmas gift. A gift so good, I wouldn't believe. So I think to myself, I have to get something just as good for my wife. Then, I see on TV they were having a sale at the furniture outlet. Now, Christmas isn't exactly the busiest time of year at an erotic bakery. So I took the last bit of my father's saffron that I've been saving and went to that outlet and bought my wife a display case for her Precious Moments figurine collection. The case was beautiful mahogany, with built-in lights, so you could see all the sad little smiles on their delicate porcelain faces. Only problem was, this morning when I gave my wife the display case, she told me she didn't have her collection anymore. She'd sold it online, so she could buy me a gift. And you know what she'd gotten me? It was a gold jar no bigger than your hand, with one word on the front. Do you know what that one word is? Do you know what that one word is that's written on that golden jar?
Was it Christmas?
Saffron!
Saffron! Saffron! Saffron!
She sold her collection so she could buy me a jar to keep my saffron in. It was... It was a weird morning.
So you're saying you don't have any saffron?
It's gone.
Not even maybe a little dust fell out? We could look.
It's gone!
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 Well, I don't want to hold you up any longer. Cliff?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. If you're alone later, we're having a big dinner in the studio annex behind the KBSH building at 8 o'clock.
Maybe.
Okay, that was a bust. Let's try the place down here.
Jesus? Is that you?
Okay, this person's crazy. Let's go.
Kendall, oh my God. I'm sure she means a person of Hispanic descent named Jesus. It's really common.
Jesus? Oh, no. You can't be Jesus. You're two people.
This Jesus that you're waiting for?
Yes.
Is he your...
Lord and Savior? Why, yes.
Oh, well, you're expecting company, so...
Listen, stay. I don't know if Jesus is really coming today or not. Thing is, I heard a voice in a dream say to me, Elaine... You will be visited by the Lord today, but so far all I've had is an old homeless woman, some lost kid, and now you two. This must be what Mary felt like when she was waiting for Jesus.
Well, it is his birthday.
I'm sure he's got a lot of places to be.
Are you two looking for a house? This is a real estate office you just walked into, so I assume so. I'm totally okay with gay couples. It just might look weird if I'm showing a house to you guys when Jesus walks in. I'm not sure how cool he is with it. I'm cool, though. I just sold a 4-bedroom colonial in the South Busheltown suburbs to these two power lesbians, so...
We're not a couple. I'm just looking for saffron. I'm making a sauce for a potential sponsor in the studio annex out behind KBSH, and dinner starts at 8, so...
Studio annex? You must do the show that comes on late Saturday nights?
Kendall, we have to start saying our show comes on late Saturday night. It sounds so much better than 4 a.m. Sunday morning.
Good point, but saffron? Any chance you've got some laying around?
No, but I do have some frankincense and myrrh, and I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with those if Jesus doesn't show up. Could you use a substitute?
No, it wouldn't be the same. Thanks anyway. We'll let you get back to waiting.
See anyone out there? Anyone in a robe and sandals, maybe?
No.
Oh, well.
Okay, this is getting ridiculous.
Can't you use a substitute, though? Call your mother. I'm sure your special sauce has been made without saffron before.
I know what she'll say, but I'll try her anyway.
Hello?
Mom, I'm trying to make this special New Orleans bordelaise sauce that's been passed down in our family for years, and I'm wondering if I can substitute another spice for saffron. We're out.
Substitute? Of course not. You have got to use saffron. Our Creole ancestor didn't wrestle alligators out of the swamps of New Orleans for you to substitute another spice for saffron. Absolutely not.
Okay, thanks, Mom.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas. Love you.
Love you, too. See?
Okay.
It's getting late, and the wind is picking up. Why don't I try the place down there, and you try the place over there, and we'll meet back at the studio annex in 10 minutes.
And if we can't find saffron...
Then I won't make the bordelaise sauce. The sponsor can just use the barbecue sauce that was in the refrigerator when we moved in.
Sounds good. Hello?
Hello?
Are you open? It only just now occurred to me how weird it is to find a dentist office open on Christmas Eve.
No, we're closed. I've just been so freaked out that I forgot to turn off the electric open sign and also forgot to lock the door.
Oh, well, being a dentist, you probably don't, but I'll ask anyway.
You'll never believe what's happened to me.
Did your husband buy you a display case for Christmas after you sold your Precious Moments figurine collection, thus making the display case useless?
Yes, but something even weirder happened since then.
Something weirder? What?
I've been visited by two ghosts, and I'm waiting for the third. Are you familiar with the plot of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol? It's happening to me. To me. To me. To me.
Oh, no. No, no, no. It's probably not. A few years ago, my co-host and I thought A Christmas Carol was happening to us. And, well, technically it did, but we weren't visited by real ghosts. It was just a pizza man, our friend Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn, and a coat rack, all acting like ghosts. We just thought they were real because our producer slipped us some heavy drugs to teach us a lesson. Do you work with people who might want to teach you a lesson? Before you saw the first ghost, did a coworker give you something to eat or drink that could have been drugged?
Meanwhile, down the block, Kendall is also coming up empty-handed in his search for Saffron.
So you're saying you don't have any Saffron?
What would I be doing with Saffron? I'm just a janitor cleaning toilets at the movie theater on Christmas Eve. Do you know what the manager said to me before he left to go home to his family for Christmas Eve? The manager of this lousy, stinking, one-screen movie theater said to me, if you get any extra time, could you scrape off some of the gum from under the seats? Gum! From under the seats! Do you know how long some of that gum's been there? I put a wad of double mint there myself when I made out with Shirley Hinkle in the back road during On the Waterfront. He wants me to scrape it off.
That is...
I didn't dream of doing this as a kid, you know. I wanted to be a dentist. Do you know how much it kills me to walk by that dentist's office down the street? I pass it every day and it kills me. I have so much resentment built up about the fact that I never went to dental school. I can't even go to the dentist to get my teeth cleaned. I tried going to the vet once to see if she'd clean my teeth, but she said she didn't want to use the same equipment on me as she did with the animals. She didn't want the animals to accidentally get any of my diseases. I'm just a damn misfit janitor, stuck cleaning toilets and scraping gum alone in a movie theater on Christmas Eve.
They don't maybe put saffron on the popcorn occasionally, do they?
No!
Cliff and Kendall reconvene at the studio annex behind the KBSH building shortly before 7.
How are we going to convince the sponsor to sponsor us without any of my special Bordelaise sauce?
You're putting a lot of stock into that Bordelaise sauce.
I had to. The recipe calls for 2 quarts of beef stock. Of course, I substituted vegetable stock since we're vegetarians.
So you made a substitution in the recipe?
Yes, but this substitution is completely different. Saffron is unsubstitutable.
It doesn't matter. We've got to feed and entertain this guy, too. What are we going to do?
If I email Betty Cratchit right now, do you think she and the other writers could send us some material?
If only we hadn't just moved the show last month. We'd have years of material that's been filed away by Austin and Becky and Tyler and Topher and Sebastian before them.
It's too bad all those files were in a moving truck that went over that steep ravine.
Why did Mr. Snodbottom pack all his personal kerosene lanterns in the same truck as our files? And why didn't he ever, even once, back up something on a computer?
I'm sure he missed a pill, or was having a stroke, or near to a bowel attack that day.
Nevertheless, we should sing.
Let's do an original song that'll impress the sponsors.
And Mrs. Putter Butter Butterchurn and Mr. Snodbottom can sing. It's cute when old people do stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure that's enough.
It always has been before.
I'm not sure how they pulled it off, but by 8 p.m. that night, dinner was ready and the studio annex was decked just like the hall in that Christmas song everybody knows. The spruce tree I put in the break room added an air of woodsiness and Christmasness to the proceedings. Not that I pointed it out to anyone. It was just pretty obvious. I stayed in the kitchenette across the hall most of the night, but I heard everything that was going on. This is how it played out once the sponsor finally showed up.
Yes, Mr. Torero, we'll be dining in the room here. It's got a rather cozy and elegant atmosphere.
Yeah, cozy, all right. That's code for small. I've been around the block a few times, don't bother.
I see. Yes, here is my dear wife, Mrs. Potterbutter Buttershow.
Hello, Mr. Torero. It's nice to make your acquaintance this Christmas Eve.
You know, I could have been in Tahoe having a bang session with Diane Sawyer, but I came here because I thought it might be a good business decision to sponsor this show. I hear fat people are coming back in, and I hear your hosts are fat. But where are they? And are fat people still funny on the radio, or do you have to see their big flabby bellies for it to really work?
Oh, Mr. Torero, I'm sure we'll answer all of your questions in due time. Let's all get seated here and begin our Christmas Eve dinner, shall we?
Oh, hello, Terry. Mr. Torero, this is Terry. She's a temporary employee helping us out tonight.
Can't afford someone full-time, huh, Snodbottom?
Oh, Terry, this first course looks delicious.
Oh, and here come Cliff and Candle. It looks like they're going to be performing for us.
Lovely dears.
What a nice surprise, boys.
But you told...
We thought that Christmas, since it's the most wonderful time of the year, would be a great time to sing a song.
And Mr. Torero, I don't know if you've heard, but I do have perfect pitch.
Austin, will you willing my keyboard? Thanks, Austin.
Now go and put the lights up the way I told you.
We're going to sing a song for you now. Oh, there goes the lights. Thanks, Austin. This is a song we wrote for a fantasy we once had. Ready?
Yep.
Christmas spirit don't come cheap,
but you and me, we've got a heap.
Very nice.
Thanks. Perfect pitch.
Some folks, they do not feel it, which I don't understand.
But we know how to spread it all throughout the land.
Christmas spirit,
I've got it.
It's here.
You know it.
All year. You know, in my head, there are sleigh bells ringing all day long.
The story that my heart tells is the Christmas song.
It's Christmas spirit.
I've got it.
Right here.
Would you look at it? All year.
Christmas spirit.
I've got it.
Right here.
Here it is.
All year. Christmas spirit.
I've got it.
Right here.
You know it.
All year.
Amen.
That's lovely, dear.
Thank you. Wow, Cliff, I really feel like I know how Santa Claus feels tonight.
Because your belly's so huge and flabby that it wobbles like a bowl full of, nay, overflowing with jelly?
No, because I'm filled with love and generosity tonight.
The boas are always this funny, Mr. Torero. I hope you're catching all of this.
But Cliff, that fat comment does bring me to my next point.
Oh yeah, what's that?
You're a fat one, Mr. Cliff. You really are obese. You're as hefty as a hippo. You're as light as bacon grease, Mr. Cliff. You're as huge as a house. And your hunger won't cease.
Let me just stop you right there.
But I haven't sang about how fat Kendall is yet.
What does the rest of this little show look like?
We're going to play a Christmas version of Are You Talking to Me, where we guess famous Christmas movie quotes.
Terrible. What else?
Mr. Snodbottom and Mrs. Potter Butter Butterturn are going to sing It's a Marshmallow World.
No offense to present company, but old people? Yuck. Entertainment has to be aimed at young people. The problem with your show isn't that it's aimed at old people. In fact, I don't even think it's aimed at people. It's aimed at the wall. Your target audience is a wall.
Well, somebody had to be the first to make a show for the wall. We're thinking outside the box here.
Outside the box? You got no box. It's like you ordered a box and it was delivered next door by mistake. This hosting, even for fat people, is subpar. And the producing leaves a hell of a lot to be desired.
Now see there, I'll not have you attacking Mr. Snodbottom. That man can do anything he sets his mind to. Never mind the litany of medical ailments he's afflicted with. He's a jack of all trades. He's got a garden and wife. You should just see his stool.
Mrs. Butterturn, I'm not sure this is the right time to bring up his stool, but she is right, Mr. Torero. Mr. Snodbottom's stool has to be seen to be believed.
It is really nice. Brown, shiny, smooth, and slick.
You're all embarrassing me. Anyone could have produced that stool.
Dear, you've worked very hard to make that stool. It took you hours of hard work and it left you exhausted.
Mr. Snodbottom acts like he doesn't like us talking about his stool, but he loves to show it off. I think Austin even helped him put a picture of it on the internet, of him smiling there next to his stool.
Of course, the stool is just a sample of what he can produce.
You people better be talking about a chair. Look, it's just not for me. The deal is off. If you were to ask me, I'd say your show stinks.
Who the hell are you coming in here talking about how much our show stinks? We've heard it. We know. What I really want to know is what kind of Grinch crawled up your ass and died just because you're a sponsor from what company are you from?
I'm a VP with Farber's Ear Pharmaceuticals. We make several medicinal creams that doctors prescribe when a patient develops an ear fungus.
Oh, that would be a perfect sponsor for our show.
How?
People listen to the show with their ears, duh.
As mundane as all this is, I got to go.
I think that's for the best. As perfect a sponsor as you might have been, I don't think we're interested in changing our show just to please people with ear fungus.
Candle is right, Mr. Torero.
Well, that's good since I called the deal off 5 minutes ago. Happy New Year to you all, if you celebrate that type of thing. Adios.
Well, I guess that's it. I guess we stay in Busheltown.
Kendall, if belching and talking about how fat we are can't make people happy, then I guess I don't know how to make people happy. But I do know I wouldn't change the show for an ear fungus medication.
What if it had been Pepsi or Ben & Jerry's or even the Chiquita Banana Company? Would we have changed the show for them?
Oh, definitely. But the point is, we'll know in our hearts when it's the right time to sell out.
Beautifully said, dear.
I guess this is one more Christmas we'll be staying true to ourselves and coming together as kind of unexpected family.
I guess so. Austin?
Yeah?
Don't you have any family to go home to?
Yeah. My family is all together tonight at their cabin in Coyote Hills. All my sisters and aunts and uncles. My 86-year-old grandfather. I asked you if I could go, but you said you needed me here.
Oh.
All I've done is wheel in that keyboard and hit the lights that one time.
Looks like your Christmas was ruined by an act of God, too. That makes you one of us, Austin.
This is an unexpected family. What's that?
It's me.
Oh, my, Terry, why are you crying, dear?
It's just that I've been on the road temping for so long that I never even get to be part of an unexpected family, which seems to happen to you guys all the time.
Terry, you're always welcome to come and unexpectedly be a part of our unexpected family whenever you can temporarily get away. We know you're committed to your life on the road.
I am committed to temping. It's the only time I really feel like me, you know? This is nice, too.
Maybe we shouldn't take the people we're with for granted. Is that the lesson we're supposed to learn? Oh, well, I guess I should eat the rest of the...
Hello?
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 Are you still having dinner? It's me, Elaine, the real estate lady without any saffron.
Come on back. We're in the break room.
Oh, hello.
This is the real estate agent we met earlier, everybody.
Hello, my name is Elaine. I represent the South Busheltown suburbs, the East Busheltown swamplands, and a small section in the West Busheltown badlands, as well as here in downtown Busheltown, where we are. If anyone were looking for any properties, that is.
We're just about to eat. Did your guest ever arrive?
No, he didn't. He didn't get the address wrong and stop by here, did he? Maybe I should treat everyone as though they're Jesus. Is that the lesson I was supposed to learn? Honestly, I'm starting to think I didn't hear the voice of God and just dreamed the whole thing myself. I did fall asleep watching The Passion of the Christ last night.
Well, help yourself to some food. Sorry there's no Bordelaise sauce. Kendall, I've got a great idea.
What?
I drew your name in the office Christmas gift secret Santa thing, and I think now's the time to give you your present.
Is it a song?
No.
Oh, then sure. What did I get?
Here.
Oh my God, I've been dying to get this.
What is it, dear?
It's the new Dan Brown book, The Da Vinci Christmas Code.
It said on the dust jacket that the Tom Hanks guy...
Robert Langdon.
He's got to find the Illuminati code that Da Vinci hid in his painting, The Adoration of the Magi.
Dear, what do you mean by hidden the code?
I read online that the code in this book has to do with Da Vinci's plan for the sleigh he built the very first Santa Claus.
Oh, I've got the Christmas spirit all of a sudden. Cliff, I drew your name in the Secret Santa this year. Now, I couldn't get all of your gift here. There are so many pieces, but I can show you a picture. If Kendall can pull it up on his phone, dear.
Oh, sure.
Hello?
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 Hello? Are those guys looking for Saffron still here?
We're in the break room. Come on back.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, it's me, Ralph, the baker from the Erotic Bakery across the way. And this is my wife, Sherry. She's the dentist with the office up the block.
Hello.
I just wanted to bring you this bag of wiener pies as a way of saying Merry Christmas and welcome to the neighborhood.
That's a nice gesture. Thank you.
And Cliff, I wanted to tell you, you were right. I called my dental hygienist and it turns out she was the one behind me reliving the Charles Dickens A Christmas Carol tonight. She pumped 5 tanks of nitrous oxide into my office, and before long, I was seeing ghosts. All because I didn't notice she'd gotten new Tweety Bird scrubs. I sure learned my lesson.
I'm sure this kind of thing happens all the time.
You look at Kendall's phone. It's the Precious Moments collection you wanted for Christmas, dear.
The what?
Precious Moments collection?
I didn't want a Precious Moments collection. I wanted a coffee table book called The Private Moments Collection. It's all paparazzi photos of celebrities changing clothes, tripping, and buying coffee, and eating at sidewalk cafes, getting out of or into cars, stuff like that. Which is what I told Mr. Snodbottom.
Oh, sorry, boy. Something must have been lost in translation.
It doesn't matter. That's not what Christmas is all about.
Precious Moments? Did you buy them from Sexy Dennis 2011 on eBay?
Oh my, it seems I did.
Then maybe I can buy them back from you. Then I could use this display case that you got me, dear.
That would be a Christmas miracle, all right.
Oh, but what about your saffron?
Well, as a matter of fact, as we walked over, I had a great idea for that gold jar you bought me that has saffron engraved on the front. We'll get a dog or a cat and name it Saffron. And when it dies, we can have the animal cremated and we'll keep its ashes in the gold jar that bears its name on the front.
Oh, what a great idea.
So, which do you want, a dog or a cat?
Oh, whichever dies first. I just want to use that jar.
Oh, how lovely.
Well, we've got to be going. Enjoy those wiener pies. They're cinnamon wieners for Christmas.
Nice to have met you, dears.
Oh, happy holidays.
Bye.
This Christmas may have not been what we all wanted, but it certainly turned into something unique.
It's a Christmas we'll never forget, that's for sure. Although, you know, you get really old or hit on the head or something, who knows what you might forget. This is a Christmas that we'll probably remember for a while. At least that's for sure. Maybe.
If I can't be stuck on the 405 in LA with my wife Susan, it's nice to be here with you guys on Christmas.
We're lucky to get to spend the holiday with Mr. Snodbottom and Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn. Also Terry the Temp and Austin, both brought here by fate. And of course you, the real estate agent. What'd you say your name was?
Elaine.
And of course, Elaine. Where was I going with this, Kendall?
Christmas is a special time.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my word. Oh, my. Would you look out the window? I do believe it's snowing.
No, dear. It's the dust storm they've been calling for all day on the news. But if you squint, it does look like a bit of snow, doesn't it?
It does.
It's kind of pretty.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
But the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Oh, it doesn't show signs of stopping.
And I've brought some corn for popping.
Since the lights are turned way down low, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally say goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm.
But if you really hold me tight all the way home, I'll be warm. Well, the fire is slowly dying,
and Kendall, we're all still standing here goodbying.
But as long as you love me so,
let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Hey, is that someone out in the storm?
Who is that guy?
It's the janitor from the movie theater up the block who didn't have any saffron. He's looking in here.
Motion for him to go to the door.
We're back here.
Hey, I saw your light on and I just had to tell somebody.
Oh, what's that?
I was walking out of the movie theater. Through the wind and dust, I hear somebody talking about teeth. And it makes me real sad, right? Because of how I never went to dental school and it was always my dream and everything. So I'm ashamed to admit it, but I started crying. And out of the wind and dust, I hear the beautiful voice of a dentist. And to save time, I'll just give you the gist of what she said. She said I could come and be a janitor at the dentist's office. And she said on the weekend she would give me dentist lessons and that she could clear it with the American Dental Association so that I could be a dentist by next Christmas. Can you believe that? That's some kind of Christmas miracle right there.
It really is. Congratulations.
Well, Kendall, I don't think this Christmas is going to be so bad after all.
Looks like it's going to be another Merry Christmas for Cliff and Kendall and their friends. And this janitor and real estate agent?
Elaine.
And Elaine?
And it was a Merry Christmas. It really was. I may just be Terry, a temp, who knows a little bit about a lot of things. But I learned a little bit about myself that Christmas with Cliff and Kendall. And I guess that's it. Are we out of time, Doctor?
Yes, dearie, we're out of time, but ooh, before you go, when you started telling me this story, you said something was terrible. What was terrible, Terry?
Oh, that parking space I found when I got to your office today. It was way in the back.
Oh, okay, Terry. I'll see you next week.
Thank you, Doctor. I feel a lot better getting all that off my chest. Oh, and I do remember one last thing that Kendall said before we all left for the night on Christmas Eve.
And what was that, Terry?
He said,
a Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Mm-mm. And how did that make you feel, Terry?
It made me feel merry, Doctor. It made me feel merry.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.